In your Bible, please. Philippians, once again, chapter 4. And our attention this morning will be at verse 8. We'll read together verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, I'm going to read in the New King James. Your translation may be a little different, but then I'm going to read to you how it's more accurately translated. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of grace or of peace will be with you. Two exhortations here. Verse 8, an exhortation to deliberate, to fix one's mind, meditate. And then, in verse 9, the exhortation to demonstrate, to do those things which Paul is saying he has shared with them in the past. But allow me to read verse 8 as we begin our study this morning. Finally, brethren, remember that attaches us back to the first verse of chapter 3. Basically, For the rest, whatever true, whatever noble, whatever just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever of good report, if any virtue, if any praiseworthy, meditate on these. Our English translation, trying to help emphasize the Greek, really does a disservice. It's not the things about what's true. It's about what is true. It's not about the things that are of nobility. It's about nobility. When we put that little expression, things, these things, we add to that which the intent of the Greek is not true. The intent of the Greek is not to focus on anything but the essence of what is true, the essence of what is noble. Not things attached to it. It's what is of the essence of true, truth. The Greek word, I put it up here for you this morning, aletheis, that which is revealed, that which is real, that which is genuine. Meditate. Deliberate on the truth. Deliberate on that which is true. Come on over to Psalm number 100. I think the very first time I remember hearing anyone quote this hymn. This psalm. It's only 5 verses. And at Philadelphia College of Bible, you were put on a outreach team. Every year that you were there, there was different emphasis on practical training. After I was there 2 years, I was privileged to be called to pastor, the youth pastor of a large independent church in Havertown. And so that was my full service. But the very first time I heard a whole psalm quoted was when doing a little Bible class in North Philadelphia with myself, a teammate, was a young girl who was same class as myself, and 20 to 30 little black kids. And she quoted Psalm 100. And I was never forgotten that. And it was a challenge to me to hide the Word of God in my heart. But that's what the Scriptures encourage us to do. Psalm 100. Your translation may say, make a joyful noise. Most of you like that because you've already heard us singing this morning, and it's more of a joyful noise than a joyful song. But this could be translated and is, make a joyful shout. A joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. A joyful shout unto the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existing eternal one. Serve the Lord with gladness. We've been looking at Philippians and just last week, what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, how? Often? Always. And again I say, what? Rejoice. Serve the Lord with gladness. Rejoice. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. That's true. That's the truth. Come on over to Genesis chapter 1. Meditate, deliberate on what is true, the truth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. The name for God that is a noun, but it has not a single significance. It has a plethora. It is a noun used with a plural significance. Elohim. It is a noun, the name that allows us to enter into Almighty God, his majesty. The magnificence of his person and his power. Elohim, Almighty God. There's no limitation to him. The majesty of his magnificent power. He's the creator. The magnificence of his person. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Elohim, God, the Father, in his majesty, in his magnificent person and power, with his spirit. And the spirit of Elohim, the spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Then Elohim, Almighty God, the majesty and magnificence of his person and power, God Father, God Spirit, then God said, God the Son, in the beginning, John says, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the light, and that light is the life of men. That's true. That's the truth. Meditate on the true. The truth as revealed in God himself. And so we are to always have our hearts and our heads fixed on him. He's true. He's the truth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Look at verse 7. Excuse me, down verse 26. Then God, Elohim, said, let us. There's that emphasis of his plethora of being, the majesty of his power and person. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. What does it mean when the scripture reveals the truth that God made us? And he made us in his own image. That which is a form recognizable. God is not obscure. God has revealed himself. And he has revealed himself in matter. This creation is a proclamation of truth. God is. He made man in his own image, a recognizable form in matter and in spirit. He made man in his own image tangible. And he made man in his own image intangible. Matter and spirit. God lets us make man in our image according to our likeness. In that intangible part of man, there is an intellect like God's. There is the emotion, the feelings, as God has revealed that he is a God all-knowing. It's true. He is a God who empathizes, who feels, who emotionally is involved with his creation. And he is not detached. He willfully interacts with that which he has made in his own image. Material, immaterial. Matter, spirit. A mind, an intellect, a feeling, emotion. And a will. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the matter. That's the material. It is like unto his image. God is in all that is made. He made all things out from within himself. There was nothing before God. He was always. And out from that, everything now that is able to be recognized, seen, participated with, is from him. And he's in it. That's not pantheism. That's personal creation. He made man out of the material of the dust of the ground. And then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, a living being. Let us make man in our own image, a recognizable form of matter and spirit. A recognizable man, like, with an intellect, with a feeling and an emotion, and a will to be the pinnacle of my creation. Going back to Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Can I say rejoice? Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, Yahweh, he is God, Elohim, it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. The truth is, God is almighty. We are his creation. He's made us. And we are his people. He has now a relationship with this which he has made and placed at the pinnacle of his creation. Come on over to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and thus we have, because that is what he determined it would be, an intimate, personal relationship with him. We are his people. Special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He made man in his own image after his own likeness. He made them male, he made them female. Placed them in a created world that they might be his people. Sin entered in and fractured, severed that relationship that God had intended for the pinnacle of his creation, mankind. I know that to be true because he revealed that to be true. What is true is revealed. What is true is real. What is true is genuine. Meditate, deliberate on truth, on what is true. In order for man to have the intended purpose for which he was made, but because of that purpose, sin had fractured that relationship, he had before he made the worlds, before he made man, a plan in place to reconcile, to remedy, to bring back into a personal, intimate relationship with himself, mankind. That was done through his son, offering up himself as our sin bearer. And all who place faith in him are uniquely now his. Uniquely now his people. How? By his grace, by his mercy. Back to Psalm 100. Know that Yahweh, the Lord, he is God Elohim. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 23. Most familiar of all psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to read this in its entirety before making any comment, but I want to read it with what I believe is the emphasis that the Spirit of God would have us understand. What is true? What is the truth that God is revealing in this psalm of David? The Lord is my shepherd. The pronouns in this psalm need the emphasis they deserve. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever is true, the truth, meditate on this. Went over to John's Gospel, chapter 10. The Lord is my shepherd. John 10, reading from verse 11. I am, ergo am me. Great I ams revealed in the Gospel of John. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep, scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. An intimate, personal relationship. He is God who has made us. We did not make ourselves, and we are his people, the sheep of his, the intimacy of this relationship. And it is one that goes down to the very depths of our being, and we experience this relationship. That's what that Greek word means, to know, to experientially know him. Not only we know him, but he knows us intimately, experientially. That's the purpose for which he made us, to have that kind of a personal relationship. It's true. He knows his own. Even as I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came up to his own people. He came to the Jew and offered himself as their Messiah, their anointed, their king. Rejected. In the master plan of Messiah, the Gentile nations would be brought into a relationship with the true and the living God through his Son Christ. This fold is Jew and Gentile together, one. That's the church, the body of Christ. One flock, one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He was not a victim of circumstance. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father, part of the master plan. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The chapter just before, chapter 10. There was one born blind, and he gave sight. Never heard of before. A blind person, born blind, now able to see? Demon can't do that. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, if you are the anointed, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. I made it very clear. I backed up what I have said by what I have done. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Even John, in the early days of Christ's ministry, sent his disciples to inquire of Jesus, are you the one, or do we look for another? Jesus' reply, go back to John and remind him, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. That declares, that demonstrates who I am. That's the truth. Meditate on that. Are you the Christ? I told you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Psalm 100. And I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Elohim, let us make man in our own image. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, the Spirit of God moving over the waters. Father, Spirit, and God spoke. He said the word Christ, God Father, Son, Holy Spirit, truth. Anything true, meditate. Fix your heart and mind. There's only one way to do that. It's the truth that God has revealed in His Word. You have to, as I mentioned earlier, about that young college student that I was ministering with, she had hidden the Word of God in her heart. And she brought it forth so these children could know Jesus. Meditate, deliberate on that which is true. I am the Good Shepherd. Back to Psalm 100. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy, everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. I'm going to stop there this morning where our time is gone. We have more about finally, brethren, there's more to come. But right now, what is true. Meditate. Deliberate. What is true? Is that which God Himself has revealed. Everything else is a lie. Meditate. Fix your mind and your heart on what is true. What is the truth? That which God has revealed concerning His person, His power, and His eternal plan. Thank you, Father, for these moments together as we begin to look into these final words of Paul to the church at Philippi. Finally, brethren, to get our hearts and our minds, our total being taken up with the truth. And we will eternally give you praise. Because you, God, are the truth. In Christ's name we pray.